Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
The lesson is designed and intended to help us as we live Christian lives, to keep things in balance, to help us to establish and to maintain our priorities, and to always try to keep the many affairs of life in proper perspective. I think we're all very much aware, are we not, that we live in a rapidly changing world. And yet, in spite of that, there are some things that do not change. And the basic needs of the human family do not change. It is indeed a very profitable as well as an interesting study to consider what are the basic fundamental needs of a human being. In order to try to determine this, I would have you with me to try to imagine that possibly some calamity has overcome the world and depopulated most of it, but a few still remain, having escaped the results of the disaster. But people no longer have a car. They don't have their wristwatch. They don't have their ring. They don't have many of the appliances and the various paraphernalia upon which we have become so dependent in life. All the usual possessions that we think about suddenly taken from us. And yet, the human family could survive if he has his basic needs. Even though our world has become tremendously complicated, and there's no doubt about that, in so many realms of life, the ultimate requirements of life, brethren, I would contend, are relatively simple. And it's good for us as Christian people to stop and to consider and think of the real necessities, inasmuch as they have actually been about the same since the time of Adam. Though I know that we have added many refinements, many improvements, we've multiplied our wants by the score until the list of things that we think are very essential has become quite extensive. And we all know that it takes a great portion of our energies and of our efforts, our waking hours, our thought, to try to supply all the various comforts and luxuries and additional things that we've come to consider to be important. But at times, it's good to just try to strip away all of these surface matters and think about the basic needs. For this reason, we don't want to become top-heavy with that which is trivial. And we don't want to miss the purposes of life. We don't want to go through life straining after so many things that are really quite unimportant, relatively speaking, and not keep in proper balance and focus those things that are basic. The most apparent need that the human family has, that is, which is the most obvious to most people, is the physical needs that are necessary for the sustenance, for the continuation of life. And for that, man must have food, he must have shelter, he must have adequate clothing. Some would add to that, he needs proper medicines to assist him when he's ill. Now, let me just add here, right quickly, that I am not tonight suggesting that we dispose of everything else. That would be rather impractical and not even that which the Lord would call for. But what I am trying to point out, that so many of the things of life are really not absolutely necessary to life. They've been added to our lives, which enhances our life and enriches our life, but the basic physical needs of man are essentially the same from one generation to the other. And are we not also aware, dear people, many problems arise in our world and with our own lives from man wanting too many things. People will fight, they'll hate, they'll gouge, they'll scratch, they'll push, they'll do most anything sometimes to get a hold of more and more of the material things of life. I was listening this morning over the radio to Brother Vernon Joynes, and he pointed out the point that I wanted to make in this lesson, that one chief means of achieving real happiness is to keep our wants as few and as simple as possible, and to always try to make them as much as we can to be in harmony with what we really need. We need to remember that people like Adam, Noah, and Abraham, Moses, David, In the physical realms of life, they had much the very same needs that we do. Now, they may have traveled differently. They ate different kinds of foods, dressed differently, had different forms of housing. But basically, their needs for the continuation of life are just about the same as we have today. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, "For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich," that is, they have the will, the desire, the ambition, the determination that they will accumulate wealth, "fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Again, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Our Lord taught in Luke the 12th chapter and the 15th verse that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Possibly we understand that. And yet we too can be caught up, if we are not careful, in the great upheaval in our world to have, to possess, to use, to accumulate, to where our focus becomes somewhat fuzzy on what are the real basic fundamental elements and necessities of life. Sometimes people say, "Why, the Lord knows I have need of that," and that's right. It's a marvelous and beautiful thought to know that God, having created man, knows man better than man knows himself, knows that we have need of certain physical things. And he has promised, especially to his children, to provide for those things. When Jesus taught there in Matthew chapter 6 about the necessities of life, he said, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." But then he added this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Just look at man, for instance. Man has lungs, God has provided air. Man has hunger, God has provided a bountiful earth from which he can produce food. Man has the need of clothing. God has provided animals and plants from which such can be made. Man needs warmth. God has given us the great blessing of the sun. He has provided timber and other means whereby we can build fires and housing and shelter. You see, before God ever created man, he had already made all of the provisions necessary to provide for man. God did not put man into this world that was inadequate for man in which to live. God knows we have physical needs. We know we have physical needs. God has provided for those physical needs, and those needs have not changed basically since the beginning of time. But while that is apparent to nearly everybody, what is not so apparent, and what is more significant, is that man has spiritual needs as well as physical. Our Lord spoke in Matthew 4, in verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father." Now, tragically, many people have failed to realize that. And the reason that so many, doubtless, have failed to realize that is because they do not realize that they are spiritual creatures as well as physical creatures. They have not yet comprehended and understood the fact that man is created in the image of God. It is not that God has flesh and bone as our physical bodies are, but as we learned this morning, God is spirit, and man is in the image of God in the spiritual realm. Man is spirit, man is soul, man has a soul as well as body. And the greatest spiritual need that the human family has is fellowship with God. Now, not all realize that, but that doesn't alter that fact. The greatest need that we have is redemption from sin. And we all sin, come short of the glory of God, and it's sin that separates us from God. It's sin that destroys the possibility of fellowship with God. And the tragic state of the Gentile world was stated how that they had no hope and were without God in the world. The greatest need that they had was to establish fellowship with God. And if only people would realize that and recognize that, even as these two precious souls obviously demonstrated that they did this morning in responding to the invitation, it would not be near so difficult to persuade men to obey God and to enjoy the fellowship that God offers to man. If only we could persuade man that he's doomed and damned, separate from God because of sin. That being the greatest need that we have, it's also marvelous to think about how that God has provided for that great spiritual need that we have. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins." That was the angel speaking to Joseph, explaining as to why the condition of Mary with child. She was carrying within her body deity that would become humanity, and by that person of whom Jack just read a moment ago, the Word becoming flesh, the only begotten of God, through him this great spiritual need that we all have would be provided. I think we all love that passage of John 3 and 16 that says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I don't know how one could state more forcefully God's provision for our spiritual need than that beloved, sometimes called golden text of the Scripture. We studied this morning from John the 4th chapter about part of the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at Jacob's well. Jesus and this Samaritan woman had come to this well. Jesus was resting there as his disciples went on into the city to obtain certain supplies. The woman came to draw water for herself, for her family. She came to provide for this physical need of water. Of course, at this time, she was unsaved and unbelieving and unblessed. She was in great spiritual need. And in the course of all of that conversation, Christ utilized that particular environment and those conditions to teach her of the water of life that would enable her to live eternally. Many of us are too much like the woman at the beginning of the story. Her entire attention was directed toward the provision of the physical without really serious thought or knowledge of God's provision for the spiritual. And dear friend, the reason that so many of us are malcontent in life, disturbed in life, have problems in life, we bring much of this upon ourselves, not intentionally, nor that we would will it to be so, but we do so because we do not realize the necessity of spiritual redemption, which is provided only in Jesus Christ. Let me speak to you of a third, very basic fundamental need, and it might be classified as a spiritual need, but we have it nonetheless. It's very basic, it's been unchanging down through the years. Dear people, we are in need of guidance as to how to live this life happily and properly. You know that in life we're often buffeted about. There are disappointments, there are hardships, there are offenses sometimes to have to endure. We have to make decisions, and we really know not how to go nor where to turn sometimes. At least it seems that way to us. We're like, pictured in the Bible, is like wandering sheep without a shepherd. We need the Lord's standards by which to measure the affairs of life. We need His guidance. We need His instruction. We need the knowledge of His will in order to determine what are our priorities and what is of true and genuine value. Through the prophet Jeremiah, we learn the great lesson, Jeremiah 10:23. "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." Our society has been called the do-your-own-thing society. That simply is an expression that says, I'll go my own way, do as I please, according to my own standards, without direction from anything or anybody. The wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Someone has written that the greatest needs of man are to know God and to find the good. Well, my dear listening friend, apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot achieve either of these needs. Jesus Christ came to this earth to reveal unto us deity and the will of deity. He came and did show us and demonstrate to us, not only by His words, but by His deeds, what is good and what is right, and lovingly also warned of the pitfalls of doing that which is wrong. To know Christ is to know God, for they are one in essence, and Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. He is indeed the perfect guide and the perfect leader, and God has provided guidance for us if only we would be humble enough, submissive enough, wise enough to gain knowledge of God's will and God's direction and God's guidance. For those who live according to the will of God live the best lives. They enjoy life the most. They understand what life is, why life is. As the saying goes, those who are servants of God, they know where they came from. They know why they are here. They have God's instructions as to how to live while they are here, and they know where they're going. We couldn't do that without God's guidance. One of those beautiful psalms that we read so often is a psalm that, among other things, shows how God has provided this guidance that we need in life, picturing man as sheep and the Lord as the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me." Notice the guidance in this. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Among many other wonderful, closely expressed ties between God and man, there is the underlying current in this psalm, God providing guidance. To my mind, these three are the basic fundamental needs of man: the physical need, the spiritual need of redemption and fellowship, the need of guidance. It's been that way in every age. We're no different from those who have gone before us in that respect. And I think that it's somewhat comforting, it's reassuring, it's stabilizing, it's strengthening to realize in a world of so many changes and so rapid changes that these basic fundamental things remain intact. In a world where things move so fast, but what was new yesterday is obsolete today, and what's new today was going to be antiquated tomorrow, I would think that we all would be helped to realize that these things do not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That our needs don't change, God's provision of them do not change. And therefore, we must lay hold upon that which is changeless, because those things that change by the very nature of them are temporary. They are fleeting. They are unstable. They are not solid. They won't last. You can't depend upon them. They're not reliable. They'll soon be gone. It's not something in which you can place your confidence, but you can in God. You can in Christ. For deity knows humanity. For that reason, humanity needs to know deity. So, brethren, in light of these basic fundamental needs, let us not become overburdened with the affairs of life. Either the material affairs, the stresses, the strains that come, and that's part of living. Life is not always easy. Problems arise within families, between people. Heartache sometimes a characteristic of the day. But there is that with which you can count and always depend for, as 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 tells us, as in other places, God is faithful. You know what that means? That means, my beloved brethren, you can count on God. You can't always count on the material. You can't always count on people around about you. You can't even count on your health. You can't count on your present condition. But you can count on your spiritual Father, always. And He knows what you need. And He's made provision for what you need. And if we will but seek Him and His kingdom and His righteousness first, then this life will be well worth living. And we'll rejoice with God eternally. But you must be in Christ. And of course the way to Christ is to obey the gospel of Christ. We certainly were blessed this morning to have one come before us and to confess his faith in Jesus Christ. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ and being penitent of his past sins, upon making that confession, you witnessed him being baptized into Christ. He's now a child of God. Past sins forgiven. He has that fellowship with God.